Good evening, everyone. It's very obvious that you haven't learned what Brother Tony tries to teach you. You know, when there is a good evening from the front, there's supposed to be... Oh, it's hopeless. Anyway, it's hopeless. We're not going to try this a third time. I want to continue where Phil left off. We heard a call for salvation tonight. And sometimes you get the impression that when you're saved, that's it. You know, you have your ticket to heaven and you go on with your life. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. We read of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, that everyone in their area, they had no smartphones, they had no social media, but still everyone knew that they had turned from idols, first of all, to serve the living and true God, and then secondly, to await his Son from heaven. So their first priority in life was to serve. Second, they were waiting to go to heaven. Okay? And I want to speak tonight very briefly about a young man who is a servant. And I want to use him as an example and an encouragement for all of us to be used by the Lord. And Brother John mentions that we're going to look at mission. Now, maybe you think mission is not for me. I don't feel like going to a snake-infested country. Although I've been told that in Virginia they have a lot of snakes too. But the point is, you don't have to go to some faraway country in Africa in order to serve the Lord. Last week, we were in Charlotte, and we spoke with Brother Danny Sands, who is responsible for Carmel Hills, and he says every summer we have young brothers helping us to maintain the grounds. That's serving the Lord. That doesn't necessarily require a lot of preaching skills and a lot of teaching skills, but it is still serving the Lord. And I'm just using this example to show you that serving the Lord can be in many different areas. And this is something you will see when you walk past the tables later this evening. The young man I want to look at is Joshua. And we read about him a couple of times, of course, in the Old Testament. But I want to read a few verses in Exodus chapter 33. In chapter 32, Moses had destroyed a golden calf. Things had gone downhill. And then when we get to chapter 33, Moses pitches a tent outside the camp. And he calls that the tent of meeting. Read about that in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought Jehovah went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose up and stood, every man at the entrance of his tent, and they looked after Moses until he entered into the tent. And it came to pass, when Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 11, Jehovah spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, and he returned to the camp. But his attendant or his assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from within the tent. The same Joshua is called in Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, the assistant of Moses from his youth. That's the ESV rendering of that verse. So we're looking at a young man here. And before the sisters feel excluded, the same thing applies, Brother Emil agrees with me, to young sisters. Now there's two things that I want to highlight that we see with Joshua. Joshua spent time with an older person, an older servant of the Lord. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to spend time with an older brother or with an older sister who is serving the Lord in whatever capacity that is. When someone is visiting around the meetings, join him. Join that brother on a trip. When a sister is visiting in the homes, ask if you can join her. Why is that? So that you can learn. I wish I had an older brother like that when I was your age. I would have prevented a lot of stupid mistakes that I made. So spend time with older brothers, with older sisters. And I can tell you, they're not all boring. Some might be, but they're not all boring. And it is useful. It is useful to learn that way. And we have plenty of examples of this in the Word of God. We have Moses and Joshua here. You can look at Paul and Timothy. Paul and Titus. And Paul took Timothy, Acts chapter 16, because he saw there was something in him. And Paul says, there is something about this young man. He can be useful. And he took him along. Now, if the older people were here, I would have encouraged them to take you younger ones along. We'll save that for some other time. But I want you to be encouraged. Even if no one asks you, like Paul did with Timothy, approach someone. Say, I want to learn. Please, take me along in what you do. But there is something more important that stands out with Joshua here. And that is vital. It's vital for Christian life. It is vital for service. We have read that Moses pitched a tent of meeting outside the camp. And then it says that everyone who wanted to speak to the Lord went to that tent. That was the general principle. But as far as I know, we only read of two individuals who actually entered that tent. Moses and Joshua. Joshua saw Moses going in. And he says, what Moses has, that closeness to God, that fellowship with him, that's what I want. That's what I need. It changed Moses, his life. When he spent time in the presence of God, at some point in the wilderness journey, his face changed. And every time he came out of the presence of God, he had to cover his face because it shone. And you know what? There's only three people in the Bible who had this because they spent time with God. Moses, Stephen, and the Lord Jesus. Well, maybe they have forgotten by the end of the week, so you can put it in anyway. So these three people, it was seen of them that they spent time with God. And Joshua sees this as, that's what I want. That's what I need. And we've read that Joshua did not depart out of that tent. He spent time with the Lord every day. Every day. And that is necessary to feed your spiritual life, but it is necessary also for service. Because when we read on, and we don't have time for that, when we read on through the books of Moses and then into the book of Joshua, we see how useful a servant Joshua was. Because he was trained. He was trained by Moses and he was trained by God. And now we're going to the New Testament where we find the same principle. And I want to connect that with one other challenge. So, spend time with older brothers and sisters. Spend time with the Lord on a daily basis. And we see the effects of that when we get to 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter speaks about our priesthood. When Peter speaks about our priesthood, he shows us two aspects. Now, and of course we can connect this with the meetings, and I think that is absolutely right, but priesthood is not just for Sunday morning. We read 1 Peter 2. We'll read from verse 4. To whom coming, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, a living stone, cast away indeed as worthless by men, but with God chosen, precious, yourselves also. Peter is talking to the believers here. As living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. So Peter says here, the first thing we have in connection with priesthood is you come into the presence of God and you bring spiritual sacrifices. You give him the praise. One effect of giving praise is that you will not worry. You know, the human brain cannot even process the two things at the same time. If we are characterized by praise, we will automatically be happy Christians. So Peter says, you go into the presence of the Lord and you praise him. You worship him. But then he goes on, and in verse 9, he speaks again of the priesthood and says, but ye, you are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, and now we're getting to the point where I want to come, that you might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Peter says, you've spent time in the presence of the Lord, and then you go out. You know, when you go into the meeting hall on Sunday morning, there comes a time where you leave. And then what? Peter says, then you're going to speak to others. About who? About the Lord Jesus. He says here, speaking about the excellencies, about the beauty of the Lord Jesus. This can be to believers. It's probably easier than to unbelievers. I remember Brian Reynolds saying at a conference a couple of years ago, it's much easier to speak to a believer about the Lord Jesus than it is to speak to an unbeliever about the Lord Jesus. Because, you know, an unbeliever, they might get angry at you. They might reject you. But Peter says here, when you've been in the presence of the Lord, the result is, you're speaking of him to others. That's what normal Christian life should be like. Why? Because he's paid such a high price for us. And that brings us back to where we started with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've been saved. One of the hymns says, saved for glory. Yes, that's true. But 1 Thessalonians 1 tells us that we are saved to serve. Glory is in the future. But today, down here, we are called to serve. And this starts at home. I think we looked at that last year. Quick recap. The disciples, when they started preaching, they started where they were. Jerusalem. Then Judea. Then Samaria. Still in the land of Israel. And then the world. If you haven't done anything in service for the Lord in your home assembly, it's not right to go someplace else. Timothy, when Paul took him, had a good testimony of the brethren in his home assembly and in the next assembly. In other words, he was active. We don't know how, we don't know what he did, but he had a good testimony. He had been active in service already, and Paul says, I'm going to take you along. And he was trained by Paul. So, again, serve together with all the believers, and spend time in the presence of the Lord. And if you do that, the result will be that there will be a desire to serve, a desire to speak to others of the one whom you love.